I do trust that as we reflect in these moments upon God's Word, that you will join me as we continue some of the development of our theme that we've had for the year, that is being servants of the Lord. One of my privileges is to have multiple occasions to minister. One of my dilemmas is it's so far between them that it's hard for me to carry out a sequence of series, but I'm attempting to do that this year. Maybe you didn't realize it. I've not identified it too explicitly, but I am today. Romans chapter 12, if you'd turn there, please, as we begin. Familiar words that I trust you have memorized by now, but I'd like your sight into that passage as we look at the thoughts of being servants of the Lord as we've seen it to point. We've had a first message that we began with on the year with the importance of being totally His. Built upon that phrase of Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And identifying that sacrifice with the illustration in the Old Testament of the burnt offering, which was totally consumed. None of it was shared on the part of the participants or the priests. It was totally consumed. It was the offering that continually burned on the altar so that they were always giving those as a means of keeping the sustained fire coals going. And so we were to be totally His. And we began that very first chapel with a little reminder through that little card that I trust you've continued to carry with you or keep someplace prominent. A card-carrying servant of the Lord. Are you truly, totally His? That's the first thought in this emphasis upon being servants of the Lord. Later, I brought a message dealing with the fact of being wholly His. Built upon that next reference in chapter 12, verse 1, a living sacrifice, holy. That single word, holy. Are you wholly His? And we went through Psalm 32 with the emphasis about how we should biblically resolve our sin. And I trust that you've been continuing to exercise that example of what God wants us to do if we biblically deal with sin. We are to be wholly His. God uses pure and holy servants. And we must be if we're to be servants of the Lord. So we're totally His. We're wholly His, and today a part three of that theme I go with in the sequence of the verse in Romans 12:1, where we are to be acceptable. We are to present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God. If you will, today I want to emphasize the importance of being eligibly His. Eligibly His. You know, eligibility is something that's well seen in today's climate, particularly as we go through March Madness. We have certain persons who are players on teams, and they've got to meet certain qualifications to be eligible to play. There's even been some discussion as the March Madness began with a particular team that I don't endorse and I don't necessarily support, but I find myself sympathetic with some of the thoughts that were expressed about this particular team. It happened to be BYU, Brigham Young University. We don't endorse Mormonism here. I want that clearly understood. But the truth is, this particular coach had a key player that bridged guidelines for eligibility to play on that team. And it was sort of the talk of the sports network, you know, broadcasters, because they were surprised that the school didn't find some way to get around this thing and make it possible this guy could still play and they could still sort of, you know, keep their guidelines. And they didn't. They just very explicitly said, you're out of here. You're not playing. You aren't eligible. Now, it seemed a little harsh, and I don't mean to suggest that they're going to have any blessing from God because they did it. But I am saying this, that's an unusual practice in the arena of, you know, such popular identity as athletics to maintain eligibility guidelines. Well, if they do it in something as shoddy and as passing as athletics, no insult to those of us who love it, can I tell you we ought to all the more be committed to how we're eligible as servants of the Lord. God has some standards of expectation. This particular phrase, acceptable, in verse 1 of chapter 12, is a worship term. It was one that was used to describe the eligibility of a sacrifice to be placed on an altar for burning. And so when we talk about being acceptable to the Lord, I can say very honestly, we've just talked about being a living sacrifice, a burnt offering, holy, and then acceptable unto the Lord. It has to meet the qualifications for eligibility to be eligible as a sacrifice to God. Now, for most of us, we're not that conversant with those eligibility guidelines in Scripture. So my task in these moments that we remain in chapel this morning is to encourage you to follow as we come through two reminders of what it takes to be an eligible servant of the Lord. Two reminders about what it takes to be an eligible servant of the Lord. As you take your servant's notes and your chapel journals, I encourage you to take these thoughts down because I'm going to go very quickly. It's not a single passage of Scripture. You need to note this down so you can continue to review it so that you'll be able to understand how critical it is to accept the eligibility guidelines that God requires if we're going to be His servant. And may I just say, these are not optional. They're not up for grabs or interpretation. These are mandated eligibility standards that we must meet if we're going to serve Him. And for those who might say, well, I don't care. I'm not planning on serving God anyway. Can I just tell you, as a child of God, we have no choice. We're totally His. We're to be wholly His. And now we must be eligibly His. Let's see it unfold, if you would please, by noting first requirement or reminder, if you would please. And that is this, the stipulations to being an eligible servant of the Lord. I want to give you some illustrations from the past, and so take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, turn in your Bibles, please. This is the first occasion that we really have any reference to a sacrifice being made in the Bible. By way of a direct reference, there's allusion to the fact that sacrifice may have been made at the time of the fall in Genesis chapter 3 with the skins that Adam and Eve received, and I don't doubt that that may have been a sacrifice, but we don't have record of it directly. But here's the occasion with Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. You know the story well. These two brothers were such that they'd grown to manhood sufficient to now be eligible to exercise their own initiative and sacrifices to the Lord. They had been guided by their parents, undoubtedly, to do this. We don't have all the details in the Bible for us, but there's no question that Adam and Eve taught their children to worship God and to go about sacrificial systems in doing that. And so the occasion came for sacrifices to be made. You know the story. Cain comes with his fruit of the ground, and Abel comes with an illustration from the flock. There are differences of opinion. Some people think that the reason Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted is because he was with a bloodless sacrifice. And I respect that view, and that's a possible view. But there are illustrations, of sacrifices in the Bible that were bloodless. The meal offering, for example, was a bloodless offering. I don't think it was so much that Cain came with the wrong kind of sacrifice, so much as it was he came with the wrong attitude as he sacrificed. Tells you something about even the Old Testament. They weren't just about externals. They really were about the internals as well. Sometimes we like to say Old Testament, they got saved by sacrifice. New Testament, we get saved by grace. Wrong. Don't ever allow that to be your thoughts or your teaching or agree with persons who would suggest that. It was always a heart relationship, and they were called upon of God to exercise what God told them to do out of obedience to what God told them to do in a sense of what He required of them. And it was a heart attitude. And we're going to see some of that. So the stipulations, illustrations from the past, we have Cain and Abel in chapter 4, verse 7. It says, as Cain's having this little, rejection by his sacrifice, the Lord says, Cain, why art thou angry? Verse 6, why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? You see, the eligibility of his offering was at stake here. Note another illustration. We're going to develop these, just looking at them. Look at Exodus chapter 28, if you would, please. Another illustration of this whole concept of how a sacrifice must be eligible to be adequately received. Exodus chapter 28, not only the illustration that comes from the past with Cain and Abel, but now an illustration from the past with reference to the priestly crown that was worn. And I'm just selectively taking some of these verses. There are more that we could identify. But in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 38, in the instructions for the priest's garments as they were first being given to Moses, this holy crown that was to be worn. Let's go back to verse 36. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. You see, the priest wore this headband that had that clearly identified. Holiness was God's demand. By the way, it hasn't changed. That's why we must be totally His. We must be wholly His if we are to be effective servants of the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. Verse 37. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. Right on the forehead here, the front of that crown that was worn. Now verse 38. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Eligible. Stipulation that we see from this illustration of the past. Not only from Cain and Abel, but also the priestly crown. But now, may I just say, without turning to it, a third illustration from the past is just the whole sacrificial system of the book of Leviticus. As you go through that, you see stipulation after stipulation. What kind of sacrifice? How it had to be offered? Detail after detail after detail. Was God just trying to make it miserable for them? No, he had very explicit instructions, because there are stipulations to follow if you're going to be eligible to serve. And so illustrations from the past with reference to these stipulations. But then, may I just say, there's also some instruction from the past. And here I'd like you to turn with some degree of detail to Exodus chapter 12. If the illustrations we've seen of Cain and Abel and the priests and the sacrificial system, now I want you to note, secondly, instructions from the past about this stipulation of eligibility. In chapter 12 of Exodus, verses 1 through 6, we find this very explicit occasion of the institution of the Passover. I'd like you to follow along as I give you seven different specific instructions that were given in this passage that I believe are applicable even for us today in a very plain and practical way. Note, if you would, the verses. I'll read them. Exodus 12, 1 through 6. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Their New Year's Day started with this particular occasion of reference. Verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall take you count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now I pause there in the reading of these instructions, because it's from these verses that I want you to see some very explicit instructions about the eligibility of this sacrifice that I think are applicable even to us today. First of these seven. Number one, it was something that was prescribed. This was not just a good idea that Moses came up with. It wasn't something that Egypt was doing, so let's do what the world's doing. No, this was very clearly a prescription from God Almighty himself. The Lord said, do it this way. And I just say that God's service must be done according to God's standards. It's not our idea how we want to do it. It's not how the rest of the world's doing it. Not how others might be doing it that are doing it wrong, and yet they get a big crowd, so let's do it like they do it. No, we must do it God's way if we're going to truly know God's blessing. And so there's a prescription to be acceptable, seen in those words of chapter 12, verse 1 and 3, where it says, God said. Number two instruction, it's a personal participation to be acceptable. I like it in verse 3 and 4, where it says, every man, every household. This isn't something that's just a blanket coverage of the nation. Individual hearts must be affected. God makes provision practically. If there was a household that just had a couple people in it, and to kill a large animal and try and partake of that would have been a pretty wasteful task. And so he says you can go together with a couple other households, but guess what? It was intentionally designed for every individual in every home to participate. It's a personal acceptability. And may I just say, this is something that every heart individually must exercise to be eligible to serve God effectively. It's our personal responsibility. Number three instruction, not only is it prescribed and personal, it's also to be perfect. Verse 5 says this, you shall take without blemish a lamb. Now, some of you might say, well, that excuse me, I'm not perfect. I'll never be able to serve God. May I just tell you that I believe the illustration here in Scripture has given us the ideal of what we should seek for. And we should always be aspiring to be more than we are. We should never be content with mediocrity. One of my greatest passions is that we have a society of Christian culture that is satisfied with mediocrity. Am I a perfectionist? No, but I am passionate about excellence. God spare us from mediocrity in any fashion of our service for Him. This was to be done without blemish. It was a perfect sacrifice. Number four, not only is it prescribed and personal and perfect, it's also precious. Precious to be acceptable. I get that from verse 5 where it says it was to be a male. Now, ladies, hang on. This is not trying to put some elevated value to the male gender. I just remind you real quickly, it's not in my message notes, but I feel the need to share this. Remember, ladies, you were always the pinnacle of God's creative work. There's even a different word in the text of the original language describing your original creation as ladies on the planet called Earth. So don't ever stoop to the level of a man, okay? Now that I've got both of you mad at me. In this case, only farmers would fully appreciate this, or people with farm backgrounds. But you know, to take a male out of your flock was a significant sacrifice. Because you see, you kept that particular male stock to be able to, you know, keep the herd strong and healthy and propagating. And God says, I want a male to be sacrificed. And by the way, I'll say this just in passing. This is not, you know, trying to spiritualize this, but may I just tell you this? We need men of God. And men, rise up and be men of God. Don't wait till you get old to be men of God. Be it right now. You can be a man of God as fast as you're willing to take in the Word of God. You don't have to wait for age to do it. Do it now. You don't have to wait to get old to, you know, be enthusiastic about serving God, being diligent about, you know, responding to the services, doing your part. Be men of God. Something that was precious. It was going to take a male. Number five, it was something that was supposed to be prime also. Prime is something that it's at its very peak. You get prime interest, you get prime rib. Can I just tell you, prime is the best. And it was supposed to be something that was without blemish of the first year. Not an old goat that we didn't need anymore. Let's just get rid of this one. No, it was to be of the first year. A prime sacrifice. And may I just tell you, right now in your prime, give it to God. I weary of people who go their own way, do their own thing, in their own time. When I get ready, then I'll give God my leftovers. Shame on us. Right now, in the prime of your life, give it to Him. There are some people that do get called upon to do something else, and God calls them later, so don't get hoity-toity about that if that's your case. But can I tell you honestly, don't intentionally waste your life doing your own thing and then give God the leftovers. Serving God requires stipulation. Prime is number five. Number six, it's to be proven as well. That's very evident in verses 3 and 6 together. They took this animal out of the flock on day 10, and they observed it for 4 days so they could see whether or not it truly performed with the kind of expectation that they thought they saw when they took it out 10 days, or on the 10th day. You see, it's possible you take a critter away from the flock, and after a few days of observing it, you know, sort of sets in with some sickliness or some deficiencies, and you say, well, you know, this wasn't as good of a critter as I thought. And may I just tell you, in serving the Lord, don't be afraid to accept the task of being proven. One of the most important reasons you're here at Appalachian Bible College is not to be coddled and loved and cared for so sweetly. God bless you. I love you. But I'm going to love you so strong, I'm going to say, you do well to be slapped around a little bit while you're here. Not literally. Hang on. But you know what? The people who give you the straight goods and tell it to you like you need to are really the ones that love you. You see, it's easy to just say nice things to you. But it's tough to say, you know what? You didn't do very well on that speech. Miss Parvin told me to say that. You see, that's tough, love. You know, when you get told something you don't like to hear, can I just tell you? You can either weenie away from it and just quit and say, they don't like me, they're just picking on me, it's not fun, that's, you know, I don't like that teacher. Or you can come to grips and say, thank you, Lord, for somebody who loves me enough to square off and tell me what I need to know. And you can say, well, that's just their opinion. I have my opinion. May I just tell you, at these bucks, you don't need to give your opinion. You just need to take somebody else's. Yeah. I never could figure out why you'd come to college and pay big prices and just say what you know. Yeah. And if that seems insulting, why, be insulted. Proven. Learn. Let no man despise thy youth, but learn to accept and grow and prove yourself in the things of God. Not only was it proven to be acceptable, it was with great price. Number 7. Look at verse 6. kill it in the evening. Now, I want to come for you students. We're not going to kill you. You might think so. But can I tell you, the true servant of the Lord dies daily. For me to live is Christ. That's what it's about. All for Him. Totally His on that altar. A burnt offering, totally consumed. The price of being acceptable is dying. Dying. To your plans, to your way of thinking, to your value system, to your worldview, dying. Dying. Let me ask you, have you died? Have you died? If you haven't, if your pride is too proud to acknowledge that you need to die, you will never serve God eligibly. With those instructions behind us, we've seen the stipulations. Now, point number two, very briefly, is the seriousness of being eligible. I do believe that this task of serving God and doing it His way is a serious task. I think it's easy for us to so trivialize it and try and tailor it to our own little world, our own little way of doing things. But can I just tell you honestly, it's serious stuff serving God. Let me give you illustrations from the past. Turn to a couple of passages very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 6, please. Jeremiah chapter 6. There are lots and lots of illustrations. I struggled the most with this point to restrict myself to illustrations because there are so many. But I've chosen three passages to give to you to illustrate from the past the seriousness of eligibility and being acceptable. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "At a time when Israel was decadent in their following of God, the prophet Jeremiah says, 'To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba and the sweet cane from a far country?'" Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 20. "Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me." They went through all the motions of serving God. And God said, ineligible. Ineligible. Not acceptable. Note further in Jeremiah's account, chapter 14. Another occasion when the prophet brings this to the attention of the nation. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 12. And again, God's speaking through Jeremiah, so God's voice is what's spoken here, but let's go back to verse 11. "Then the Lord said unto me, 'Pray not for this people for their good.'" Well, that's something, isn't it? Telling preachers not to pray for their people. Verse 12. "When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation or another sacrifice, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence." And I know this is a direct reference dispensationally to Israel's future impending captivity. But can I tell you, it's serious stuff. How we serve God. And so illustration from Jeremiah. Then a second illustration from Malachi. If you go to the end of the Old Testament, I thought it was appropriate to just sort of see how it leads right into the New Testament with the same concern. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10 and 13. The prophet's dealing with the needs of God's people. And he says, "Who is there among even you that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand." Skip down to verse 13. "Ye said also, 'Behold, what a weariness is this.'" In other words, we get tired of following the rules and doing it God's way. And we don't like your way of doing worship, God. "And ye have sniffed at it." Literally, turned your nose up in the air. Said, "We're not going to do it your way, God. We got a better idea." "And ye have sniffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?" They got so careless about it, they said, "Oh, let's just give God, you know, this old critter's going to die anyway. Let's just give this as an offering." And they were insultingly treating God. The seriousness of this seen historically by illustration. But then instructions for the present. Can I give you these quick instructions? First off, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would, please. Again, thank you for just your quick references to these portions of Scripture that collectively give us this theme of importance of eligibility and acceptance of service to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Peter says, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." See, even in the New Testament language, as Peter transfers the role of the priest of the Old Testament, who was the spokesman and the person who made access to God through the sacrifices, we in the New Testament, you well know, if you haven't had, you know, Hebrews with Dr. Carfer yet, I promise you, you'll get it. The priesthood of the believer. It's a wonderful privilege. We have access to God. Aren't you glad today? Right? Yeah, and the rest of you too. What a blessing. We don't have to go through somebody else. But you know what? In that capacity, we need to be careful that we exercise eligibility, acceptable to God. Priests are to be acceptable. That's the first instruction for the present. We are to be as priests who are acceptable. Number two, we are to prove what is acceptable. Turn to the book of Ephesians, please. We're to prove what is acceptable. We don't just flippantly go our way and accept everything that comes down the pike. We're to exercise spiritual discernment in how we go about doing God's work. And here's a great reminder from Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to ask you to just follow as I read through an extended portion here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 17. Follow as I read. "For ye were once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now go back to verse 8 again. "Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." There's our term, eligible. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Here's the task of living purely and separatedly for God. Verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." In other words, the light exposes wrong. So when you take the light of God's word and the Spirit of God, you expose the error of man's ways. "For whatever doth not make manifest is light." If it doesn't shine in the light, guess what? It's equal to the light. You take a light bulb and shine a light bulb against the light bulb, and it's just light. And so we see that clear instruction. Verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly." Literally, we're to walk as though we're inside a transparent circle that anybody from any angle could look at us and see us as eligible for service for God. Are you walking circumspectly? Or do you have moments when you're in the privacy of your room, in the privacy of your car, or the privacy of your computer, the privacy of whatever your mind is, and you would be guilty if you were found and seen? Oh, God, help us to live circumspectly so that as a circle of truth and light and right is around us, from any angle, people could look at us and they would see eligibility. And so we are to be priests who are acceptable. We are to be proving what is acceptable. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Would you turn there, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are to prepare to be acceptable as well. Familiar words of Scripture, but this thought of accept is right there in the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be what?" Tell me. "Accepted of him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Can I tell you? There'll come a day when all of us will stand, and Paul's telling us, prepare to be able to stand before him. And so he says, look, you're going to appear before him to receive awards from him. So be alert to how you prepare for that so you can be accountable to him. And so, instructions for the present, because of the seriousness of being eligible, we must be priests who are acceptable. We must prove what is acceptable. We must prepare to be acceptable. I know that I've dealt with this in a rather hurried fashion. Let me just quickly review in these moments as I close with these thoughts. We started by saying there are two reminders for being eligible to be a servant of the Lord. First, the stipulations that we saw. Illustrations from the past that demonstrated that, from Cain and Abel to the occasion of the priests and their crown to the sacrificial system. Instructions from the past as we went through that passage in chapter 12 of Exodus, giving all those seven different details of stipulation applicable to us today. Then the second reminder was the seriousness of being acceptable, eligible. Illustrations from the past where the folk didn't do what God wanted, and the prophet spoke with severity, Jeremiah and Malachi, as they cried out for the people to change their ways to be eligible in service to the Lord. And with that note, instructions for the present. How do we do it? We must be priests who are acceptable. We must prove what is acceptable. We must prepare to be acceptable. I close with this thought, and that is this. So what? We've got that section in your notes right there before you in your chapel journal, the so what section. I have two questions I want you to just note, or two thoughts I want you to take as far as your so what in that moment. First, thought number one is this. What I do does really matter. What I do does really matter. Can I tell you? Some of the things that you might be tempted to do may render you forever ineligible in certain capacities of serving God. I personally believe that that's true. Not because I don't think God forgives, but because sometimes the consequences of our sin have forever consequences in deterring us from service. I believe that with all my heart. And so it does matter what you do today with your life. There are consequences. But then secondly, it is possible to be unacceptable. That's what I want us to think about. Are you unacceptable today to God? Is your life such that we could truly place it on the altar of illustration of what God wants in a sacrifice that is qualified, that is eligible to be offered to Him? It is possible to be unacceptable, and that's a scary thing. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy. I wonder, could you say that today?